Dr. Michael Lake, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. And his wife, Mary Lou Lake, the author of What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, the expanded edition. Here is the book right here. And talking about the satanic occult, the true story of the occult and mind control. So glad to have the opportunity to finally have Mary Lou Lake on to talk about her book. This is an incredible read. And, you know, when I did my book, Stained by Blood, I had recollected and wrote out to the best of my memory exactly what I stumbled upon, what we stumbled upon, and it's difficult. I must say that it's difficult. You get into some pretty murky waters and some pretty serious stuff when you begin writing and talking about this mind control and the satanic occult. Indeed, this is what we're seeing. Before we get back to Dr. Lake and Dr. and Mrs. Lake, I want to mention that I'm going to thank Debbie B. for writing this. She was at the Antelope Valley Mall, in Palmdale, California, not too long ago. Earlier today, around 3 o'clock local time, best guess here on my part, and she just sent me a notice, an email saying that the media is not covering this, but apparently they had a bomb scare, a suspicious package left inside the JCPenney store there in the Antelope Valley Mall in Palmdale, California. A mass evacuation of the mall, and the way she described it, it was pretty significant. And no media coverage whatsoever, wanting to know basically why is this not being, you know, you get one person that's shot and a gang related or drive by, it's all over the news, but this is not. So things are happening behind the scenes, and thank you, Debbie, from California, for the information. So I'm pass that along to everyone, and if you have information like this or about this, certainly send it to us, and we'll be glad to check it out. But again, our guest, Dr. Michael Lake and Mary Lou Lake, and we're talking about a number of things, and Mary Lou Lake was kind enough to stay with us. Dr. Lake, I'm going to turn it over to you. However you want to direct this, the remaining hour, the 2 seconds we have left, with your wife, and kind of let you decide, because the gift of time that you and your wife are giving us is just so welcomed. But kind of let you decide how you want to proceed from here.
Well, we always enjoy the time that we get to be with you on these shows.
Thank you so much.
You know, one of the things I want to stress, and you know, we're in this situation where, you know, we open up the church doors and have the people coming through the church or program multiples or witches. She's remembering this stuff that's happening to her and trying to work through it. The only counselor that we could find that dealt with it, we discovered, is most likely a multiple. I'm not really where I need to be. Back then, I wasn't really. I was partially spiritually asleep, I guess you should say, and there was some maturity I needed, or that the fire of all this worked in me.
Well, let me say this, honey, just in support of you. You know, I had a Jezebel spirit as big as Manhattan, and you know, if you're a victim of any kind of abuse, that's one of the spirits that just clings to you, and you'll accept it because you don't feel safe unless you can control all your environment. So I had a huge Jezebel spirit, and I was trying to control everything in our life. And when you have a mate that has that, it really has a hazing effect on the spouse. And so whatever was going on with you, let me tell you, what was with me was probably the reason. So just to clarify.
Well, you know, sometimes we think we need to have this massive support team to, you know, to handle coming out of mind control or having the occult come after you, whatever. We were going through all this craziness, and we had no one other. Because of my position with the seminary, if I needed, you know, some research information or something, I could call somebody. But locally, we had nothing. And in fact, with all this supposed super spiritual prayer warriors in that area, the moment that we began to share what was really going on, they left for the hills. And so it was just Mary and I, and we're here to tell you that Jesus is enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
The word of God is enough.
That's right.
And in the process, if you begin crying out to him, you can make mistakes along the way, because probably more on my side than on Mary's. But there were mistakes that we made, but the blood of Jesus covered them. God brought us out the other side because there was this learning curve and this learning process.
That's right.
And, you know, all the glory goes to God.
Yes, absolutely. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him.
And so, you know, because of that, we have a, you know, a tale to tell and spiritual warnings. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have the insight that we do today. Mary and I guess about a year ago, Mary and I were sitting and talking, and I looked at her and I said, you know, I finally come to the place where I thank God the day that witch crawled in the van after you. Mm-hmm. Because if those things hadn't happened, we wouldn't know what we know today. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing today. And we would not have become the people that through that crucible, that there was some iron sharpening iron, there was some refining of gold that the Father had in mind when He allowed us to go through these things that are allowing us to do what we're doing today. And so, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, Joseph, you know, they threw you into prison, your own brothers did, and sold you into slavery and all this stuff. But, hey, God meant it for good because he saw what was going to happen through that process on the other side.
And through all that we went through, everything, including them trying to crash a plane into my house, God sustained us. He kept us alive through all of the attacks, the assassination attempts. He kept us alive, and only He could. I mean, when we saw the, you know, how huge and how massive this was, that this wasn't just local, it wasn't just state, it was national and worldwide and unlimited resources. So it was either God was going to protect us or we would have died, Mike, but He did. He showed Himself powerful.
Unlimited resources versus very, very meager resources, but Bible, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the things of the kingdom. And, you know, I think a lot of us today, we may feel like we're right there. That, you know, I'm not much. I don't have much to give for the kingdom. But, you know, I hear that all the time. You know, how come, you know, I have this hunger to serve God, but I've been kind of out in the wilderness. Well, I think there are a lot of John the Baptist that God has had out of the way that the enemy couldn't see. And, in fact, when I was at that conference with Russ Dizdar, I gave a prophetic word, and it was probably one of the most powerful things I have ever experienced. After I ministered and everything, they asked me to blow a shofar, and I really wasn't quite. It was a room probably big enough to seat about 200 or so people, and I wasn't really satisfied with how well I was blowing it or how loud I was blowing it. And the Holy Spirit says, "You want to hear something real loud? Set the shofar down." And without a mic, I began giving a prophetic word that there was a holy roar in that prophetic word. And God was talking about how that He had hid end time ministries and end time ministers that the devil doesn't even know about. They have been obscured from the population that have been hidden in Him. And I didn't need a microphone. I wouldn't even, in fact, the pastor's wife tried to get a microphone to me, and the presence of God was so strong she couldn't even crawl and get that close. And I had people tell me that they would raise their hands up in the back of the church and they could feel it resonating off the back of their hands, because God is getting ready to loose an end time remnant ministry. And I think it goes back to Daniel chapter 11, where you have the Antichrist at the pinnacle of his power. Yet even when he's at the pinnacle of his power, the Word of God tells us there are going to be those that know their God, and they shall be strong and do great exploits. And that word know in the Hebrew is yada, which means to be intimate with, absolutely passionately fall in love with. And in fact, in within the Jewish community, that could be used for a very strong, solid marriage and the intimate relationship a husband and wife has. That there are those that have decided that they're going to wait on God and just get lost in His presence. And I think there's more of them out there, Doug and Joe, than we realize. We don't even know that they may not even be in ministry yet. They've just been waiting and just waiting on God and soaking in His presence. But I think there's this coming, this time of this release, because there has been a heart cry. I tell people with our current president that's in the office, you know, there's two reasons that God puts someone in office. He either puts someone in office because you prayed, or He puts someone in office to make you pray. And I think this is one of those make you pray kind of things. And He has been so overt about everything that He's done, He has woken, the people are waking up. They're saying, you know, I can't believe that people are buying this agenda, and it's shaking them and waking them, and it's creating an open door for remnant ministry to begin stepping on the stage, and they're going to be so unorthodox with what we consider traditional ministry today, because traditional ministry has been so infiltrated and molded by the mystery religions. When you look at what it talks about here in the Hebrew, now they're going to be strong. One of the definitions that you can take that word means to be hardened. And if you've ever dealt with military equipment, the equipment that has been hardened means it's EMP proof. It's nuclear proof. And I think that they're going to get so strong in God, they're going to be hardened where the enemy can't affect them and affect their minds and affect them spiritually. Then this exploits literally means that they're going to be able to fashion miracles. They're going to understand the ways of God because they've spent so much time in His presence. They're going to have like this Moses anointing. Moses understood the ways of God so he could flow so much easier with God. And I think we're going to begin seeing that. And I've been spending several years praying about this. And God kept on taking me to the book of Acts, which to me was kind of a no-brainer. Of course, you're going to take me to the book of Acts. But then He would take me to the book of Judges. And then the book of Acts and the book of Judges and the book of Acts. And, you know, I'm just ping-ponging back and forth. And I say, God, help me get this. And he said, to a great degree, you're like the children of Israel during the time of the Judges. Because the word says, because there was no king, every man was doing what was right in his own eyes, which got them in bondage, which allowed the mystery religions to bring them in bondage. And I will raise up judges. And so he said, for you to understand where you're headed, you got to take the fivefold ministry that you see functioning in the book of Acts, and they're going to be judges, like in the book of Judges.
Interesting.
Wow. And I mean, to do exploits to set people free. And he said, there's going to be something interesting about these judges that as I begin to release them. And he talked about it as a field of reciprocity around them. And I said, well, help me understand it, because I remember the term reciprocity. I remember the old Harrison Ford movie, Clear and Present Danger, where the president sends this Navy SEAL team to begin wrecking havoc among the Colombian war, drug lords and everything, and he called it Project Reciprocity, because you did this to us, we're going to do this to you. And he said, well, you have to understand Abram. He said, I told Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. He said, that's really going to be an effect for those judges, that when the occult come after them, it's going to be reciprocal. It's going to turn back away from the judges, and it's going to come back on them. If they try to curse the judges, it's going to come back on their own heads. If they try to assassinate the judges, they're the ones that are going to get killed in the effort. There's going to be this tumbling back on them, which is probably the first time the occult have ever seen that kind of power before. That's where we're getting ready to head ministry. And I think that people like Russ Dizdar and others have walked in the edge of it. And I have, after, you know, I've heard him on your show, I've read his book, and I've listened to a lot of his stuff. But man, there's something about when you meet someone face to face and you look in their eyes and you see a deep commitment to Jesus, mm-hmm. and you see someone that has been through a hard road, that has been in the warfare and still has the love of God in him and still has the power of God in him, that's encouraging for me.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that's at the periphery of the battle, I don't know if I'd want to see it at the epicenter. That's to be for sure. But okay. So, you know, it's interesting you spoke of the hardening too. The hardening, just like the military assets, and the raising up of the remnant. I can see, as Paul McGuire talks too, about the raising of the remnant or the creation of the remnant in these dark times.
And we have questions from the audience, not just right now, but from many previous guests just in the last few weeks, when people are talking about, you know, the people of God doing exploits on behalf of the Lord for their fellow people during these end times. And one of the main points I see from all these emails is people asking, well, where are these people who can do exploits? Where is the Church of Acts type belief in Christianity in America today? And you know, the best thing I can come up with is the belief is there, but the acts and exploits of that belief is not yet here. And we're told that God will pour His Spirit upon all mankind in the end times. But what do you think is holding back the remnant from being able to become just like the Acts Church did, to put it all on the line, to move and have the Holy Spirit move with it, and in order to bring about these miracles, signs, and wonders leading God's people where they need to go, and you know, evangelizing to those who might not believe or who are on the fence? People are saying they don't see that type of movement today, and they believe that that would be indicative of the, you know, the tribulation period when you do see that begin.
Well, I think we're just at the beginning of it. Even when you look at Moses, there was a crucible that he had to go through. You know, even his birth was in a time of a crucible, and then he had ended up on the backside of the desert after he tried to do it in his flesh before he met God at the burning bush. And I really, you know, number one, I think there are a lot of these things that are happening. We had something happen that was a manifestation of this last week when I was in a conference. But you're not going to hear about it on the evening news, guys. It isn't going to behoove the enemy to begin broadcasting the things that God is doing. And right now they're just beginning to come out of desert places. Just look at a few years ago, you guys never knew who I was, and I didn't know who Paul McGuire was or Russ Dizdar and so many others. And they're beginning to come out, and I think God's even using shows like this to begin spreading the word that those ministers are rising and things are going to begin moving. And I think for us, the first step is to awaken the remnant, awaken the church, begin to teach them and to show them how to get in the presence of God and to learn their authority and to learn why the commandments of God are so important and understanding the ways of God and begin stripping Babylon off of us. That's a process. And the more that we do it, the stronger we become. So, you know, some of us have done it. There's always trailblazers. And I think they're beginning to come out of the woodwork. But as we do, then our job is to get your attention and to begin equipping those saints that have ears to hear and to begin building teams across this nation. And so we're just at the very edge of it. So it's exciting, but unless people begin announcing it, you know, when the John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, he was out there shouting at the scorpions and the snakes, and finally people started showing up. And I kind of think that's where we are right now.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, when Jesus was on earth and after his resurrection during the beginning of the spreading of the gospel, there were many heretics and false prophets that arose in that time. And we see that here today as well. For every person who seems to be wanting to convey the biblical truth and tell people what it is God showing them, we see 10 people, you know, perverting that for, you know, a number of different reasons. And we see this huge increase in false prophets, just as we did back in the beginning of Christianity. But one thing that set that apart in the beginning was the truth of the word. And unfortunately, today, with our language, so few people put stock into the Bible. At least back then, in the between the Jewish people, they had the history of they lived the history, and you know they were part of that religion. Today, it seems like the secular world is so far removed, and I know that this is a work that God will take care of by changing and you know hardening and loosening the hearts of men. But it seems like just such an uphill battle, and what you said is right. You know, our victories won't be broadcast. We will not see the fruits of our labor on a grand scale. But that can't be a means or a reason not to continue doing what the Lord has called us to do. And I just want people to understand that we could do what the Lord wants us to do and do it very well for the rest of our lives and be, you know, scoffed, mocked, and beaten down in the process. And that doesn't mean that we're not doing what's right.
And, you know, I think that all of us were beginning to learn what Babylon is. You know, in the Shiner Directive, I outline a lot of things of how they have influenced education. They've influenced theology. I was here about a year ago. I was at a minister's conference, and I began to basically spout the basic tenets of hyper-grace. And, boy, everybody said, that's right, that's right, that's right. And I said, well, does it line up with this? And I give them about five or six things. And they said, oh, that's a perfect expression of all that. And I said, great, you just quoted Aleister Crowley.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it's gotten. And so there's going to be a lot of repentance, a lot of relearning that we're going to do. And I think that's why God is raising up many, many ministries. And I think Hagman is right in the center of that, to get the word out, to begin to get people to think and to see. There's a purifying process. For Mary and I, it wasn't that we just flipped on a switch and we were here. There was some rough road, but in the midst of the rough road, you find out how to four-wheel drive in the kingdom, if you will, and to be able to move on in the things of the kingdom of God.
Well, and the one thing that we sure found out was that, you know, if we got in our flesh, nothing happened. But when we could submit ourselves to God, get out of the way, and let Him flow His love through us, we found out there is nothing anywhere as powerful as His love. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And sometimes it's tough love, because, you know, real love will tell you what you're doing wrong and how you need to straighten it up and the consequences if you don't. That's love too. And guys, you know, I think all of us would like to see more done, to see God doing more, and that's good. It's that holy dissatisfaction that causes us to push in deeper. And to say, God, I want you to go deeper in me. I want to go deeper in you. Mm-hmm. I want you to produce something greater, because I am not satisfied with where I am. Right. I'm not satisfied in what I'm seeing done. And guys, you know, since we've come on your show and other shows and we've started our own podcast, we have people all around the world that are not only contacting us, but they're praying for us. And I tell you what, There have been days Mary and I have been so tired at the end of the day that we could hardly lift up our heads. Yeah. And yet there was a phone call, that there was something that we had to do, or even a show like this that we had to do. And all of a sudden the power of God would hit us and we would have this supernatural strength. And then we'd find out that there were a bunch of people praying for us that night. Precious people. And so all of us have our part. And it is beginning, but it's not going to be on Big Christian Radio. It's not going to be on Big Christian Television, because the gatekeepers of those systems that have been so pro-Babylon aren't going to let it through.
I believe that the mind control is breaking, and there's more of an effect on that, on the nation, than what people believe. You know, it's one thing to have what happened to me, but Mike, there is a nationwide effort. And I honestly believe what we're all witnessing with Hillary Clinton is she is coming offline.
Yeah.
There, you know, when somebody's online and programming, they're totally functional. Everything's just perfect. They'll have the right part up at the right time. And what we're witnessing is the prayers of the people have affected her programming.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. And that's what I've seen face-to-face for a long time. Now, they're able to still hide a lot of the things going on with her. But when a program multiple comes offline, they become mentally unstable. Their body starts breaking down. And I think that's what we're witnessing with her.
Yeah. You know, I think we're seeing that. And one of the things I've noticed about the media this last year or so, you know, the mainstream media, is they're getting aggravated and they're getting desperate because people don't believe them anymore. The stuff they're saying isn't working to sway the masses anymore. We've also seen times of heightened triggers, like, you know, with an advertising or different shows, quotes from Alice in Wonderland or Wizard of Oz or all these things. And then all of a sudden you just get barraged with them. You know what that is? That's desperation because it's not working. It's not working because the remnant's praying.
And they can't believe it's not working, so they have to quote, "There's no place like home" one more time.
This one more time, you know. And it gets to the place where it's almost ridiculous. And guys, that means that God's working.
Mm-hmm.
That means
the prayers are being heard and he is responding.
The Shinar directive is getting pushed down, guys. So, you know, all of us, as we move and we do these things, we're having a difference. We're making a difference. Guys, it's given us more time. I think I shared that about a year ago. When you look at what the elite planned about 2006, America should have been no more. And what God has forced them to do is they've had to attenuate their plans over and over again because God says, "I know in my word I say that you're going to do these things, but you're going to do it on my schedule and not yours." That's how powerful
That's right.
God is.
Dr. Lake, we are up against our last break. We have one more segment with you and your wife. We'll be right back to get into our last segment. And what you said about the media and the people, and it does seem like God is lifting a veil off the eyes of people who are seeking the truth. It doesn't even have to do with seeking him. I guess the first steps is, you know, looking, recognizing the lie and seeking the truth, and then hopefully from there we can do our jobs in the alternative media to lead people to the true answer, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we'll be right back with Dr. Michael Lake for our last segment right after this. That's HagmanReport.com. That's our website, primary website, Hagman and Hagman.com, for all show-related mechanisms. So you can buy Hagman and Hagman.com. You can get to us. You can get to us on Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank them so much for carrying our program, as well as BTR, Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, you can watch us live on YouTube. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com for show prep, information, backdrop material. That's HagmanReport.com. I just want to welcome everyone listening for our final segment, Dr. Michael Lake, KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. That's his website. It's six. In fact, you can go to today's episode, and it's right there. The link is right there. That's KingdomIntelligenceBriefing.com. And his wife, Mrs. Lake, Mary Lou Lake, author of What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know, expanded edition, true story of the occult and mind control. Really blown away by this book, Mary Lou Lake's book. I really was. Her book recounts some of the shocking events in a small town in Missouri. It's a true story. Much like my book, Stained by Blood, I had a fictionalized mind. For legal reasons, of course, but you know, Mrs. Lake had struggled with depression for years and couldn't find the joy that the scriptures indicated is available for all Christians, to all Christians, in their quest to find answers. She was not only healed and delivered, but the process uncovered startling revelations of a dark practice or dark practices going on in the small town and where she was raised. And this book gives an account of that. It's a great book. My wife has read this. I don't even think she read mine, but she read this. No, I'm joking around, but this is really a serious, good expose on what we face here, what's really ramping up, and what we face on a national level as well. So pleased to have them with us. And now tomorrow, I just want a little housekeeping here. Tomorrow, I asked, Joe and I asked Dr. Ted Broder to come on to talk about current events, to dissect and analyze the current events against the backdrop of history, and also offer some analysis we're seeing, in really only the only way he can, or the only he can do. So, tell everyone about tomorrow's broadcast, but tonight is just, we're so pleased to have both, Dr. and Mrs. Lake on with us, and,
Dr. Lake's book, The Sharif Imperative, is coming out next month. I can't wait for that. And I was so pleased to be asked to write the foreword to that. But reading that book is just wow. Just wow. As well as The Shinar Directive. Just an excellent book that, I'm still studying that. Dr. Lake is, one of my professors. How's that? I don't know how else to describe it, because that's, he's like, you know, one of your favorite, you remember college, high school? You had a favorite professor, favorite teacher? Well, that's Dr. Michael Lake. Thanks for hanging on with us, Dr. and Mrs. Lake. Dr. Lake, I'll kick it back to you.
Well, I want to correct one thing or just share this from my point of view. You know, the world would tell you that you're alternate media or alt media. I think the new term is alt-right, you know, whatever that means. They're trying to marginalize. But what you guys are the real media.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other media is a joke. It is nothing but propaganda. And the real news and the real truth comes from ministries and stations with what you guys are doing. And Mary and I are just so thankful.
Well, you know, it's only because of guests like yourselves, though, because...
And the audience you know, the Lord, truly, because, Dr. Lake, you and I talked about this very briefly earlier, but, you know, we started, just my father and I, two headsets, two computers, and, you know, our opinions, and we continued to just tell the truth and search the truth based on what the Bible says and digging back into the Bible. And just by doing that, with no other agenda but to try to explain to people and help people understand what's going on, he has blessed us with a robust audience and, you know, the greatest listenership in on any radio program, I would say. And, you know, it's nothing we did except show up, as I like to say.
You know, I kind of like thinking of shows like this, or like the old time campfires. You know, and this is the fire where the remnant are gathering to get their intelligence briefings and to find out what's really going on and to get inspired. And so we're just so thankful for what God's doing.
Well, what's one of those keys of the remnant, Mike? It's courage.
Yeah.
And you can't do what Doug and Joe are doing without courage.
No.
Because every day when they do this, they're becoming a target. And they know that. And to me, it's so admirable. And it is a signifier of the remnant.
Yeah. You know, I think we're looking for, you know, some great major explosive move. And the truth is that there are a lot of them. We just came back from a congregation down 11 in Tennessee that, you know, nice facility. It's not definitely not the biggest one in town or anything else. But you want to talk about the presence of God being in a place.
That's true.
And that they have learned how to bring the manifested presence of God back into a church. I told Mary, I said, you know, I've not felt this since the 1970s in the heart of the charismatic renewal when I was in the military in Germany, and when it was on a tail end of a major supernatural revival of God, was the last time I felt that level of the presence of God. And I wonder how many of these smaller ministries that are out of the way that are experiencing the same thing. And God is preparing his special forces, and he's going to begin releasing them real soon. But they're out there. They're all over the place. And Mary and I hear from them all over the world. And so it's exciting, isn't it, Mary?
It is.
All right. We have about 20 minutes left before the end of the program. Dr. Lake and Mary, where would you like to take us from here?
I'm looking at you.
I mean, we can go off script and talk about you know, what's happening with the Middle East and the migrant situation, and where you guys expect to see, or what you would expect to see coming out of this war-torn region, as Russia is now getting more militarily involved. After the ceasefire between the U.S. and Russia was brokered, there's been a number of bombings, one to an aid convoy. We see, you know, the wars and rumors of wars. We see the increased Earth activity that is leaving parts of the world devastated from other weather calamities. We see a number of things, from signs in the stars and in the heavens, and then we have what, you know, the everyday American and Western society view of things versus the rest of the world. And we see this push towards globalism, as Obama yesterday gave his speech to the UN talking about Americans needing to surrender their sovereignty over to an international body, and in the process giving up freedoms to do so. This all speaks to what the Bible says, not only in the book of Revelation, but in Daniel. And many people have been asking and assumed at first that Obama was the Antichrist, which I believe he's a forerunner to that. This election coming up is just crazy. We all know, you know, Hillary Clinton has done nothing but lie, cheat, and steal to the American people since she's been able to. With Donald Trump, there's a lot of concern about him, yet we know he's not Hillary Clinton. And we have George Soros saying, yet Trump could win the popular vote in a landslide, but still lose the election due to the electoral vote. Any thoughts or suggestions on what we should expect to see with this election?
Well, I think it's going to get real interesting. I heard, you know, with all these leaks of emails, I heard one commentator talk about Colin Powell's emails were leaked and all the different revelations that came out of that. Mm-hmm. And I thought one of the ones that was actually kind of encouraging for me is that Trump has never been to the Bohemian Grove and all those guys are against him. And I thought, well, that's a feather in his cap. And so, guys...
Yes, it is. And George H.W. Bush has come out yesterday that he's going to be voting for Hillary Clinton. A lot of the neocon, PNAC neocon establishment Republicans seem to want to vote for Hillary Clinton. They are creating the narrative and pushing the narrative in the news that the possibility of a Trump presidency not only worries world leaders all across the globe, but also worries the globalist plans, which, with the media today never telling the truth, I have to wonder what their agenda is, and if that is the truth about Donald Trump, if he were to gain office, to ruin their plans of globalism. I find it hard to believe that they would leave it up to a vote of the American people for a candidate. You know, their agenda in those hands. I think they have much more control over it than they let on. But I don't know. I mean, things are definitely taking a turn for the weird, if anything.
All the way around, you know, you look at this going on in America. You look at what's going on in the Middle East. You have Turkey aligning itself with Russia. I'm not sure if we've gotten all the atomic weapons out of Turkey yet that NATO had stored there. But man, we were almost on the edge of seeing the rebirth of the Ottoman Empire as a nuclear empire. That's how volatile that situation has gotten. We have Israel now looking to Russia to bring stability and the new peace talks that are coming out. America's not the one hosting them; it's Russia. And this is actually even coloring outside the lines of what is normally taught as end-time prophecy. And, guys, I think we're in the most dynamic, fluid times that we could ever have seen. I think a lot of what we're seeing both in America is because of the prayers that are going forth. You know, you look at it, and I've kind of watched this. You know, Hillary Clinton can do no wrong. No matter what she says, no matter what she does, she gets all the limelight of the mainstream media. No matter what Trump does, it's put down. And so there's this such a dichotomy of the coverage, and even very prejudicial. And yet they're almost in a dead heat when it comes to the polls. And so the American people are waking up, and they're looking. We don't want the global agenda. Guys, and when we see all these things and them pushing all these things, they did not originate these ideas. God put them all in the Bible a long time ago. Every bit of it validates that the Word of God is the truth, that it is from God, it is divine revelation, that God is the true creator. And so the more that we see these things come to pass and they're trying to implement them, the more we can press into God, because we know that no matter what they intend to do, He is still in control. You know, well, you know, can we survive if one gets into presidency and the other one doesn't? We can. I think one would be a whole lot easier. But God doesn't fall off the throne. And it doesn't matter if Caesar was on the throne, the church survived and thrived. And so we definitely want our nation to go in a good direction. But I think that's only going to be a reflection of the direction that we have in our hearts. It's always.
You said something. I didn't mean to overtalk you. You said something interesting. It doesn't. I mean, God will still be on the throne. And I think a lot of times people have this sense of fatality. I think sometimes people forget that God is in control, and we put so much stock into these earthly initiatives, these earthly hinge moments in history, like the elections in 2016. It's do or die. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, God's in fatalism. Paul McGuire.
Yeah. So you're right, and right to bring it out as well, to point this out.
Yeah, you know, one way would be a lot easier, the other way would be really unhandy. But at the same time, it's still doable. I mean, when you look historically, the Church of Jesus Christ has been pushed underground. It's they've tried to burn it out, stomp it out, wipe it out every way possible. And what we're seeing in the Middle East, I heard a story about, you know, when they had those guys lined up on the shore, that they were Egyptian Christians that were, they told them, you know, to renounce Christ, and they wouldn't, and they one by one killed them. But they never tell you about the 13th guy. I just heard about that recently. And it was Rush Dizdar that shared it. There was the 13th guy that the media won't cover. He just got kind of caught in the crowd. He wasn't an Egyptian Christian. He was just a secular business guy that got thrown in the crowd. And as he watched all these people give up their life for Jesus Christ and heard their testimonies, when they put the knife on his neck, he said, "I want their God. I will follow this Jesus." And there are more Christians, there are more Muslims converting right now to Christianity in the Middle East than ever before in history.
Mark, there's power released when someone doesn't love their life to the death.
Yeah.
But where it says in Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. It means that we will die rather than bow.
Yeah.
To anyone other than Almighty God.
You know, I think there's a mindset that's going to empower us, and it's similar to that which a Delta Force in the military has. You know, then not everybody that Special Forces can make it to become a Delta in the Army. But the day they become a Delta, there's one specific thing that they pack in their backpack everywhere they go. They carry their own body bag. Because the day they became a Delta, they died. They didn't love their life unto death. And I think that same attitude. For me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. My life is in the hand of God. And if I'm walking with Him and seeking His face, listening to His Holy Spirit, nobody, not even Lucifer himself, can take me out before my time. But my job is to be like the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2 Timothy the day before he ran to his executioner, where he says, "I have finished the fight. I have run the race. I've finished the fight. I do not have one thing left on my divine to-do list, and I'm ready to go home." And all of us have to have that attitude. God, give me your grace to overcome, to finish my portion of what the remnant is supposed to do, finish my portion of the difference that I can make in planet Earth, whether it's a prayer warrior or a preacher in the pulpit or somebody handling all the audio, video, and making all those things work so that the guy preaching and doing everything else doesn't have to. Whatever that I'm supposed to do, let me do it under your leading, under your anointing, and for your purpose, and let me get it all done before I go home. That needs to be our right, and it doesn't matter who's on the throne or who's in the office or which country or whatever else. As long as Jesus is on the throne and you're serving Him, your life has purpose and your life has power. And we need to quit looking at earthly things, start getting our eyes back on heavenly things. And when we do that, heaven will begin backing up what we do in the earth for Him.
Amen. Powerful words. Powerful, a powerful statement, and a manner in which to live. Wow. It's fantastic. Okay.
We got 10 minutes left on the show. So if you guys want to cover anything that we have not covered, if you want to talk about your upcoming book, or Mary, if you want to continue talking about your book, we can. Mary Lou, wife of Dr. Michael Lake, has a book that my dad's holding right there.
That's right.
What Witches Don't Want Christians to Know. And the term witches I find fascinating, as I've studied some of the Salem witch trials, and I find that history very fascinating and troubling at the same time. But we've seen a resurgence in the TV and whatnot.
My goodness, you got a program called Lucifer running. You know, I mean, how far down this rabbit hole have we gone?
And they've created the international headquarters of Satanism in now Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And one thing that I guess while we're talking about Salem, you know, the people who came over here, the Puritans and the Pilgrims, were Bible-believing Christians who knew their Bible. Yet for some reason, when these problems became prevalent in Salem, they resorted to burning the witches instead of actually following what the scripture said, hinting to demonic influence in the leaders of the church in their decision-making process. And that's always been something that has really sparked my interest, because and that could be very relevant into, you know, the witches and what we see today. As Russ Dizdar says, Wicca is the number one growing fastest religion in the country right now. And what was it? What power did these witches yield, if any, over the Bible-believing Puritans that led them to do and commit crimes that were against their own religion that they knew front and back?
I wonder how many of them there was infiltration where the ones doing the burning were the witches who made false accusations against Christians they were wanting to take out and get out of the way. And I think there was a lot of that going on, too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would agree with that.
Interesting concept. Yep. Go ahead.
The reason that the Testament is important is because we essentially made that claim, didn't we, honey? That you know, we're either gonna stand here and either God protects us or we die, but we're not bowing our knee, and we got to live. You know, not every time that you don't love your life to the death, do you have to die? Sometimes God just says, well, this is where I'll show my power. And that's why there's such an upsurge of witchcraft, occult activities, because people are hungry for the supernatural. And this is my view on why we haven't seen the power of God. I think that there's such an enmeshing of occult activity and God's people right now that He has purposely not shown His power, because if the gifts were really operating, and gifts of healing and things like that, everybody's got these back doors open to Satan, and he would have come in and just wiped everybody out. So God in His mercy has held back His power, but He's getting ready to raise up His people, and they're going to shake off Babylon and Egypt, and they're going to be battle ready, and He's going to send them forth. And then when God's power is shown, that's when the people in the occult will say, oh my goodness,
yeah,
there really is a greater power than what we've seen.
And I think, you know, we always talk about the love of God, and I think that's an important aspect of God, but that's not His aspect that's brought into superlative in the Word of God. Before everything else, every other aspect of God has to bow to His holiness. And you know when we're going to see power, guys, is when, in our eyes, He becomes holy again. And we have this reverence for Him, and it begins to cause us to pursue holiness. One of the things I show in my new book is that, you know, Paul was very clear when he taught this in Ephesians. He goes this whole thing about, you know, putting off the old man, putting on the new. And what he was trying to show is this is the armor of God. And it can only, the armor of God can go only go on where the character of Christ has been established. And Doug, Joe, right now, we have a lot of people right now that are on spiritual warfare battlefields that are in their BVDs because the theology has not allowed them to develop Christ-likeness, and therefore they have no armor.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very well said. Well, we want to thank you both for taking the time tonight to spend with us and our listening audience. And we're going to continue to promote both of your books, all of your books, The Shinar Directive, Mary Lou's book, which is Don't Want Christians to Know, as well as Dr. Lake's upcoming book, The Sharith Imperative.
All good reads and all important reads for the body and for the information and inspiration both offer.
And if I heard you right, Dr. Lake, at the right around the release of your book, you were thinking about doing a show with Tom Horn and Steve Quayle here on the Hagman and Hagman Report?
Yeah, I really hope that comes together. I think that would be a real fun show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it would. I agree, and I think our audience would definitely agree with that.
In fact, we just got an email about that.
So he can put that bug in Steve's ear for that.
That sounds great. Yeah, it's somebody from, actually a listener from Denmark just asked when that is, and my daughter just responded back, it's in the works, so can't wait for that.
And folks, if you want to keep up with Dr. Lake, his website, kingdomintelligencebriefing.com, bookmark the site. You can get the latest content and audio files that are up there. And there's so much more resources and other things that will come in handy and are very helpful on your day-to-day search into the Word of Scriptures and what's going on in the world of prophecy.
Absolutely. Dr. and Mrs. Lake, thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless, stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
It's been such a pleasure,
yes,
guys.
Yes, it has. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you both. Have a great evening.
Folks, what a treat to have Mrs. Lake on, Dr. Lake on, talking about all of this. I mean, Mrs. Lake's experience, her diary of what happened in a small town, what witches don't want Christians to know.
I'm going to reveal my ignorance and say that I did not know that book existed.
Well, yeah, that's my fault. No, but, you know, again, my wife and I read this book, and we felt that there was a lot, well, that we know there's a lot to this. It's a great read, and there's a lot of information. And I think a lot of people might look at that or read that and say, wait a minute, boy, that's familiar. This happened to me, or I'm familiar with that. It's something, it's an asset, and it, a lot of people actually have sent emails already saying, you know, does Mrs. Lake know of any place where I could get help for this, or, you know, so we will connect you as we're, or you can email, Kingdom Intelligence Briefing directly via their website. Folks, tomorrow night, Dr. Ted Brower will be joining us as well. I'm going to reiterate something that, WB had sent in from California. There was some sort of a mass evacuation of the Antelope Valley Mall in Palmdale, California. JCPenney bomb threat or a suspicious package found inside the JCPenney store, and there was a mass evacuation. And it wasn't.
And since the weekend, there's been a few.
It was pretty
these.
Ugly.
There was a pipe bomb that was detonated by the police near Atlanta.
Yep.
A day or two ago, and there's been reports of suspicious packages around the country. One that closed down portions of an airport ended up just being closed, but then you have the ones that are real legitimate threats as people are on high alert due to the recent attacks and attempted bombings.
When I spoke with Dave Hodges today, we were talking about the fulfillment of things taking place, such as the Tet Offensive. In a sense, I think that there's a lot of things that are taking place that are not being made known or made public, and we have to watch this. And that's why we started the show by saying, I do believe, at least in my view, the concealed weapons, if you are able to, and you know how to handle a gun, if you are able to, and whatever, well, gonna leave the legalities up to you, but I do believe it's a righteous responsibility for people to protect themselves and their families, especially in today's environment.
Check your gun laws in your state.
Yeah.
Some states are just open carry. You don't need a permit to do so. Other states, you need a concealed carry permit. But they vary from state to state, and be up to date with the laws. Be aware of them.
Yep. And I'll say this: I will not visit any place, and I will not be a customer anywhere where they don't welcome guns or they ban guns. Because talk about a sitting target, right? That's the way I feel, folks. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening. And hey, if you're a small business owner and you would like, for example, like to spread the word about your service or product, visit HagmanReport.com and look on the right-hand side, opportunities at HagmanReport.com. Until tomorrow, God bless.